You've been faithful in giving a whole bunch. And you've been a wretch in almsgiving. See, that's why when I try to pass this up, the Lord said, no, don't pass it up, because you got some folk in Olivet that got a lot, and they ain't giving nothing. Not even a little. They aren't giving anything. I'm saying, Lord, hey, it ain't me. The Lord said, oh, I know it ain't you, because you see, if you know me, I give everything away. I'm just that kind of man. My wife be getting ticked off of me all the time. You just always giving it up. Right. Because I know that when I die, I cannot take it with me. Listen, Christians, you better know this. When you hit Mother Earth for them to plant your filthy, dead, rotten body, the heathens that are left, when they go through your bank account and your stuff, if you would be able to see from heaven, you'd freak. Fourth and lastly, what hinders the believer from handling with care? Oh, I'll tell you what hinders him. We've been encumbered by the spirit of protectionism. Protectionism hinders you from being like that. I got to protect what's mine. None of it is ours. Old man Rockefeller dying of cancer. You know the story? I've told it a lot of times. Some of you have never heard it. Dying of cancer years ago. Doctor came in and says, old man Rock can't do nothing for you. You're dying. Rockefeller put a newsletter out. Any doctor that comes in and heals me, I'll give him $1 million. Now, you know them doctors was lined up at the door. The doctor that cures me, I will give them $1 million tax-free. I want to live. Every doctor came in, did a biopsy, did the diagnosis and everything, and said, Rock, you're dying. And I'm telling you, when he died, all of that, he left. All of it. I want you folks to get all this stuff that you're looking at. Don't none of you, including me, know when I'm going to die. So what in the world am I living so attached to the mess when I don't know when he's going to take me out? So I live loose to everything. Now, since I'm living loose to everything, and if God gives me abundance, there's only one thing for me to do with it. Hey, look out somebody that ain't got nothing and give it to them. Y'all need something? Take this. I don't need it. What am I? Hey, and listen, that's the problem. And you folk have gone through it in your families. I never forget when a dear aunt of mine died. Somebody called me and said, you better come over here, boy, because they're going through the house taking everything. I was a bachelor at that time, and I told them, y'all just clean the house out. I want absolutely nothing. Because I did not revere my aunt in that way. I think that if she was alive, she'd be here fighting you scavengers. What hinders us? Protectionism. My people come first. I don't think I'm going to have anything left. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. We're going to take a very good look. You see, the Bible is replete in this, and we need to know what the Bible says about this. 1 John 3, 17. The verse reads like this, but whoever has this world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? I'm going to put it to you in the plain English. If you have stuff and see somebody that don't have stuff and needs stuff that you have that you don't need, you're going to where? To live eternally with who? And you're not going to meet that, you ought to stop jiving. Now, what do I see in this verse? I see a lot in verse 17. Not only does the Lord know that we have goods, but the implication is that we have enough to share with others. For he says, you have the world's goods. In other words, in the Greek, it means you have it in hand. The resource, the wealth, the goods are at your disposal to do whatever you want to do with it. It isn't the thought that, well, maybe I have, I think I have, I'm not sure whether I have. You know you have it. See, that's the implication of the text. Let's stop jiving here. I'm going to sell everything that I have. What are you going to do? And I'm going to move way over here. And I've got to make sure I got $500,000. Why? So that I can live comfortably. You're a believer? Yes. There's some believers in your family that are very uncomfortable. Well, you know, they've always been a lazy kind of breed. Lazy. Don't let them buy your house, you know. Why not? Oh, their children are so unmanageable. They may stain the carpet. Have you ever seen them when they leave the bathroom? The towels are so soiled. But why you got them hanging on the rack? You go in there with dirty hands, you wash your hands, if you don't get it all with the soap, let the towel take it off. And then when you go in there, since you're so fine and well off, you got 15 more towels, take it out, put it in the washer, put a clean one up there. Jeez. See, the Lord says, oh, I know you have the world's goods. Second thing that I see is that the Lord makes it clear in this verse that we have the ability to read the situation concerning others who are standing in need. Because he says, and behold his brother in need. You have the ability to see it. Walking around, eyes, hands off. I don't see nothing, man. I'm just driving blind to heaven. God's going to make it perfectly clear that people have a need, and he's going to let you see it. And sometimes when they come to me, you know what I tell them? Hey, I see the need, brother and sister, and I ain't got nothing, but such as I have, give I unto thee. You know, let's pray together. And if that's all you can do with somebody, at least pray with them. I mean, but don't walk away with nothing. In other words, he's saying right here, when you see your brother has a need, it has the sense of there is a necessity. A need must be met. You see it. You know it. You can't get away from it. And you should see some folk around Olivet, oh, well, don't let her come up to me. She got all these needs, and they try to go out the other way. Oh, well, you know, there's the children. Oh, watch them now. Watch them. Watch them. Why don't you follow them? And put a $10 bill in their hand and say, give this to your mama. Who should I tell you? Just say to somebody that loves her, honey, give it to your mama. That's where you handle that. That's where you handle that. And the person is not going to feel, listen, if any of you have a need and a brother or sister comes up to you and meet that need and you feel ashamed, tell them that you feel ashamed and give them the money back. And don't tell anybody else that you have a need. Because the Lord's not going to send the person you think to meet your need. He's going to send the person that you think not to meet your need. See, some of us only want certain people to meet our needs. Oh, no, no, no. The Lord's going to send somebody that you never think not. Somebody that you haven't been thinking very highly of, that God has put you on their hearts to bless you. So when they come to you, why don't you put your pride behind you and say, thank you, Jesus, and P.S., thank you, my sister. I needed that. We see something else. The Lord knows when we choose to deny our brother or the other in need by not complying to the standard of handling with care. The third part of this verse says, and closes his heart against him. In the King James, the term is closes his bowels against him. This is a very unique term, for there is where the seat of all passions lie. That's that inward affection of tender mercy. In other words, you become void of pity or passion when you close up. Person comes to you and you say, hey, not only am I not going to respond, I refuse to see. And then you go home and then you say, where are we going for dinner tonight? It's a steakhouse extraordinaire. Order anything you want. It's all on me. Just help yourself. And all you're doing to that person is trying to impress them. And if I went with you and know you turned from a brother, I'm going to eat you up double extraordinaire. Give me this, that. Wait a minute, man, it's too much. No, you wouldn't take them, but you're going to take me. And then I'm going to say, look, bring me some baskets to take this stuff away. And then I'm going to go right by that person's house and say, here's your dinner. A steak dinner all for you. And they bought it for you through proxy through me. My friends, we're playing some wild games here. Fourthly, I see that the Lord has an answer for the dilemma which faces those of us who are called by the name Christian. He asked a question through the Apostle John, how does the love of God abide in you? In other words, what in the world, who in the world, where in the world do you think you are? Christians don't do this. Christians can't see somebody that has a need and turn and walk away from it. Christians are looking to meet the need and sacrifice their own for the needs of another. And here you are looking for a way to be entertained and to have fun. You're going where? Oh, my friends, you better look at these issues of family life. Because consequently, those of us that think we're going to heaven and we just got all of our lives all mapped out and we are turning our hearts from others, we are in terrible shape. When we speak large about caring, yet we live small in our Christian obligation, The last scripture that I'm going to refer you to this morning is 1 John chapter 3. We're already there, verses 18 through 22. And we're going to look at each of these verses for those of you that speak large about your caring, but you are living small and not living large. You're living very small. And it's very, and listen, it is very obvious. This man Cornelius gave alms. We men and women in the Christian church today give homage to our own selfishness and our own ungrateful attitudes. For it says, beginning with verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And then it says in verse 19, we shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 20, and whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Verse 21, behold, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things which are pleasing in his sight. What do I see in these verses? Verse 18, we are to remember that talk is cheap in a society that does not believe in the testimony of the word of God. Verse 18 tells us that talk is cheap. Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with deed and truth. Oh, you say? You say that you want to do what God wants you to do? Yeah. You say you want to be faithful to what he's called you to do? Yes. You got some good? Don't lie. Well, yes, I have a little. I have a little. A little? You load it. A little, you call that bank account you got a little? You are loaded. Well, I wish I had an opportunity to help. Oh, you wishing? What you wishing for? You're just talking to me, huh? Because if you was living this stuff out, you wouldn't have to wish. All you'd have to do is just look around. Open up your eyes and look. Wishing, wishing, wishing. Guilty right now, sitting in our pews and sometimes standing up here. Because see, this is for me too. See, I can stand here and talk that trash, and then when it's time for me to respond, I can say, well, I just don't have the time this year. Right. We are to remember the talk is cheap, my friends. Verse 19, we need to test our hearts as to the issue of handling with care. Verse 19 says this, we shall know by this that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. In other words, your heart is going to condemn you or set you free right now where you are. Those that are viewing by video, you're sitting right there, well, I bet that screen is what, 85 inches big, huh? You watching it on a big screen right now. Super stereo, everything else, right? You ever invite your neighbor to come by and have some vittles while you share the truth? No. Won't let those heathens in my house. They may steal my big screen, right? You need to be willing to give up big screen, all screens. Let him screen that. Well, let me go on. Verse 20. We are not to have false guilt if we really can't assist as we desire. That's what verse 20 is saying. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. If you really can't do what you want to do, don't make this sermon make you feel guilty. If you really don't have it, and I'm talking about a lot of money, I'm talking about, you see, I'm not just talking about money, church, I'm talking about time, ministry, resources, talent, ability. I'm not talking about money alone. See, every time we talk about, well, I ain't got no money. All right, then, what do you have? What do you have? I've got the plenty of nothing, and nothing's got plenty of me. Oh, I got my life, I got my wife, I got security. It's a Broadway play. And that's what our lives are. We can sing them songs real quick. Feeling guilty right now. Fourth and lastly, at the same time, we know that our heart does not condemn us. We are free to demonstrate our handling with care for the purpose of pleasing him in verses 21 and 22. Beloved.
Uh-huh. Yes. Before we get into the last part, just wanted to share a little bit with you. See, if the message is making you feel guilty, then you can break that. You know the neighbor, you know the person you can help. As a matter of fact, you know the very person that you have been avoiding. Oh, and it's not me. Because really, when I can't do ministry, I'm not even going to let you know. You just won't hear from me anymore. You want to know when Pastor John has had it? When you come to the website, you don't hear anything else, and when it's just gone. Meant that all the help and everything dried up from the church. And then what'll I do? I just keep on doing what I possibly can. So let's get into the fourth and last point. Thank you for really listening to this message. I love you for doing it. And I hope you love me for preserving it just for you. God bless you.